I thought we'd give just a little bit of a background, a little historical slash halachic background to the institution of Chanukah. Maybe tomorrow and Monday we'll talk a little bit more about the pratim of the mitzvahs. Those were was for Shabbos, and we spoke a lot about Achsonoi anyway, so any more common shalos we spoke about. But I want to just speak a little bit about the background of Chanukah in terms of the following two basic questions, which as we'll see may very much be related one to another. We spoke about some of these things in the past. We'll try to present it now a little bit. Two basic questions about the institution of Chanukah. Number one, what gave us the right to institute Chanukah in the first place? And number two, assuming that we had some kind of a right to institute Chanukah, why do we have to bother to listen to Chanukah? So both of these questions are obviously related to the same basic question, namely the relationship between Dinim Deraisa and Dinim Derabanan. So there's a basic fundamental question about all Dinim Derabanan. There are really two basic fundamental questions about all Dinim Derabanan. So one fundamental question about this din derabanan or any din derabanan is, what right do we have to, in a sense, change the Torah? The Torah is pretty good by itself. Torah Hashem to be Meshivas Nafesh. The Torah was perfect, given to us by the Rebbeinu Shalom. What right do we have? How dare we tamper with the Torah Kedosha and start to add new mitzvahs? We're adding new mesechtas, new dinim Shulchan Aruch. What's wrong with Pesach and Sukkot and Tefillin and Tzitzis and Shabbos? We had so many dinim deraisa, Migos, Chazokas, Rose. We got plenty of dinim deraisa. What gives us a right to start instituting dinim derabanan? That's question number one. And number two, assuming we can figure out what in the world gives us the right to do it. So, okay, it's very nice. Thank you very much, Bazin. You were okay in what you did. Why do I, as the individual, in the year Tov Shinayin, why do I have to bother listening to what these Chachamim said? It's not the Rebbeinu Shalom speaking, so why is it, what does it have to do with me? So these two questions, the basic root of all dinim derabanan, play out of the Sigiv Chanukah clearly, and we'll try to see what some of the answers to these questions are. So the sugya begins in Maseches Megillah and Daf Yudal. We've quoted this Gemara in the past. The Gemara does not even discuss Chanukah. The Gemara discusses Purim. The Gemara raises the red flag on Purim. What right do we have to institute the Yontif of Purim? After all, we have so many mitzvahs in the Torah. We have 630 mitzvahs in the Torah. What are we doing? What's going on? Why are we adding on this new mitzvah called Purim? So the Gemara raises that question. Before we get to the answer of the Gemara, let's just understand what the question is. So what exactly was bothering the Gemara? So the Ramban in his Perish and Chumash in Parshas Vaschanan claims that what the Gemara was bothered with was that this was a violation of Baal Tosef. That Baal Tosef we usually associate very, very different. We usually think Baal Tosef means there's a mitzvah in the Torah, one of the 613 mitzvahs, and the Torah says to do a mitzvah in a certain manner, a certain fashion, a certain surah, and you add to the Chefetz HaMitzvah. Let's say, for example, the mitzvah of Tefillin. The Torah says, the Tosha Rapeh says, the Tatav is Benenecha means four. You have to have four batim, four parshas and four batim. And the guy wants to have a little bit of different tefillin. All the tefillin in the shul look the same, boring, he wants something new. So he makes five batim on his tefillin. That's classic Baal Tosef. That's what Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Sifrei. That's the classic violation of Baal Tosef. Or, let's say, some other classic violation of Baal Tosef. A guy, instead of taking dalam minim on sukkahs, decides to put in a rose also. You know, the Dalaminim were pretty boring, they're all green, so he wants a little bit of red, you know, background. So he throws in a red rose for good luck, and he comes to shul with it. So that's a classic Baal Tosef. So Baal Tosef is usually associated with a shinui in the chefza of a pre-existing mitzvah. Then there's a second type of Baal Tosef that appears in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Kav Ches, where the Gemara says that there's a zman of a mitzvah. You have to do a mitzvah at a certain time, and a person adds to the zman of a mitzvah. So the example that the Gemara gives is, Pesukas Teishu Shivas Yomim. Shivas Yomim is a halachic unit. The guy decides he wants to sit in the Sukkah and Shemini Atzeres as well. So the Gemara says that's also about Tosef. The Gemara here, just for those who are interested, is not talking about Shemini Atzeres and Chutz Laretz. The other Gemara paskins Befeirish and Masechah Sukkah that we are Mechuyev Midrabanan to sit in the Sukkah and Shemini Atzeres and Chutz Laretz because it's fake at the Yoma. But the Gemara is talking about sitting in the Sukkah in Eretz Yisrael. What would have been Chutz Laretz in Eretz Yisrael doing Shemini Atzeres is a subject for another discussion, not for now. But a pure Ben Eretz Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael decides 7 days wasn't enough, he wants to chop right another day in the Sukkah, so he goes out to the Sukkah and Shalash Shemini Atzeres, so he's in violation of the Issa Deraisa Baal Tosef. That's the Farish of the Gemara. So Baal Tosef is either associated with the Shini in the Chefetz of a mitzvah, or it's associated with the Shini in the Zman mitzvah. But all the examples of Baal Tosef that appear in Chazal at least all revolve around a pre-existing mitzvah min HaTorah, some kind of a change in the mitzvah min HaTorah. Comes the Ramban Chumash and has a Chiddush in Baal Tosef, comes the Ramban and says, what would that halacha be if a person doesn't change a pre-existing mitzvah, but rather makes up a new mitzvah? The guy decides 613 mitzvahs aren't enough, I'm going to make a 614th mitzvah. I'm going to declare, and make a whole run around, posting signs all over the place, telling everybody, there's a new mitzvah in the Torah. What's the new mitzvah in the Torah? Everybody should stand on the head on Tuesday afternoon for 10 minutes and, I don't know, wave their feet. That's another, before you do it, say L'shem Yichud, make a bracha. That's a real mitzvah to do that. So the Ramban says, besides locking the guy up for being insane, he's also, by the way, in violation of Baal Tos. Says the Ramban, who did such a thing? Who was in violation of this? Who was such a person who did this? Yeravam. He writes, Yeravam ben Avot, HaChadosh Shabbat Belibo, he made up a new mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah says, you keep Sukkot Tishrei, and he decided we're going to make up a new holiday, a new Chag, HaChadosh Shabbat Belibo, in the eighth month, we're going to all come to the Beis El, we're going to all come besides all the Avodah Zarah, we're going to a new holiday, a new mitzvah. So comes the Ramban and says, that's also a violation of Baal Tos. A new mitzvah, not a change in an old one, a brand new mitzvah, Yesh Me'ayin, is called Baal Tos. So says the Ramban, that's exactly what was bothering Chazal in Maseches Megillah. Isn't this a blatant violation of Baal Tos? That was the problem. We don't know what the solution was. That was the problem. This was preventing Chazal from instituting the Yom Tov of Purim. Come the Rashba in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, without quoting the Ramban, by definition disagrees with the Ramban, comes the Rashba and says, that cannot be the Pshat in the Gemara for the following reason. Says the Rashba, the din of Baal Tos was given to Yechidim. It wasn't given to the Beis Din. Says the Rashba, when Beis Din speaks, there's another mitzvah in the Torah. That's called Lo Sosor. Says the Rashba, forget it. The Torah says, whatever the Chachamim say, you have to listen to. So obviously, if the Torah gave us a mitzvah Lo Sosor and Adav Shagidu Chayabinu Smo, that whatever the rabbis say, you got to listen to them, so then how can you turn around and say, oh, by the way, you're not allowed to say anything. You can... whatever you want to say, you could say, and we have to listen to you, but you're not allowed to say anything. That doesn't make any sense. So if the Torah itself gave Koyach to the Chacham to institute mitzvahs, Lo Sosor Adav Shagidu Chayim Minu Smol, how can anybody tell you that that's a violation of Baal Tos? So says the Rashba, so how do you jive those two psukim? How can on the one hand there's a parsha of Lo Sosor, which means you got to listen to anything new the Chacham tell you, yet there's an issue of Baal Tos? What's the answer? The answer, says the Rashba, it's obvious. Baal Tos was given for Yechidim, and Lo Sosor was given to the Beis Din HaGadol. Whatever the Beis Din says is by definition not considered to be Baal Tos. The Rashba uses this, we spoke about this thing before Rosh Hashanah, the Rashba says, this is the answer to Tosfos Kasha. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Min HaTorah you only have to blow X amount of kolos, 9 kolos, maximum Min HaTorah. Yeah, we blow much more than that. We blow Tkiyas the Miyushiv and the Umud and everything. So comes Tosfos and says, isn't that a violation of Baal Tos? You're changing the Tzuras HaMitzvah. The Torah says 9 and you're doing 15. So why is that fundamentally different? That the Torah is saying 4 batim in the tefillin, and you're putting in a fifth. So whereas Tosfos said, no, that's not the same thing. When you go from 4 batim to 5, you're making a change in the cheftza. When you go from 9 kolos to 100 kolos, you're just repeating the same mitzvah. Enoch Inami says Tosfos, if you would blow a different kol, let's say a guy would decide he wants to blow Yankee Doodle in the middle of Tekiah Shofar, so that would be considered a chini in the cheftza. And if he says, Hashem commanded us to blow Yankee Doodle, so besides, again, he can lock him up with the Meshuggah, you know, who's standing on his head on Tuesdays, but besides being Meshuggah, the guy's in violation of Baal Tos. But if he just blows the same Tekiyas, the same Teruas, this Nochem, the guy's a little obsessive, he's blowing more and more and more and more and more, so says Tos, that's not called Baal Tos. Baal Tos is not a repetition of a mitzvah, but Tos is a change in the mitzvah. So the Rashba says, maybe that's a good answer, maybe it's not a good answer, but I'll tell you what the real answer is, says the Rashba. The emphasis answer, why is blowing extra kailas not called Baal Tos? Because we're not doing that as Yechidim. Chazal Masaka to do it. Lama Tegin Shem Omdim, Lama Tegin Shem Yashvin. We're doing it as the Tekanas Chachamim. So whatever the Chachamim tell us is by definition not called Baal Tos. It's not the Rashba's Yisayid. The Rashba brings a riot for this Yisayid. The Rashba says, amazing Rashba, the Rashba says, what's the other half of Baal Tos? Baal Tigra. To detract from doing mitzvahs. Says the Rashba, if Baal Tos means to do mitzvahs above and beyond what the Torah says, what would Baal Tigra mean? Not doing one of the mitzvahs of Torah. So says the Rashba, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Shechalas B'Shabbos, and a guy doesn't blow shofar, you know what he's in violation of? Catch this one. Baal Tigra. He didn't do the mitzvah of shofar. The Torah said to blow shofar. No, I'm not going to blow shofar. Do me something. I'm not going to blow shofar today. That's a violation of Baal Tigra. Says the Rashba, how dare the Chum tell you to violate Baal Tigra? What's the answer, says the Rashba? Whenever the Chachamim say, it's not Baal Tigra. Whenever the Chachamim speak, that's not Baal Tos, it's not Baal Tigra. That's Lo Sosor. That's the Raya of the Rashba. So nobody knows what the Rashba is talking about. You know why? Why is that called Baal Tigra? Because I don't do a mitzvah. I understand. Let's say the guy didn't say Kriyishma this morning. So besides being Mevatel Kriyishma, he was over in Lo Sigra. The guy didn't put on tefillin today. So besides being Mevatel tefillin, he was over in Baal Tigra. Did we ever hear such a thing? That doesn't make any sense. That's hard to understand. So the Rashba is a big pillar. That's a lot of work. I do a lot of work in this Rashba, but that's what the Rashba says. So, a kopon, the Rashba, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin, develops this Yisoid, that Baltoisev and Baltigva were given to Yechidim, they weren't given to the Beis Din. So obviously, according to the Rashba, that was not the problem in Megillah Daf Yudalit. And the Chalmud trying to figure out, hey, how can we institute the Yom Tov of Purim? They weren't bothered with Baltoisev. That wasn't the issue. Baltoisev wasn't the issue b'chlal, according to the Rashba. There must have been some other reason, some other issue involved. But it was not an issue about Baltoisev. So Taka, what was the other issue, according to the Rashba? If it was an issue about Baltoisev, what other possible problem could it be? So there's another Gemara that says, commenting on a pasuk, Eila ha-mitzvahs, shetziv Hashem es Moshe, Eila ha-mitzvahs, ein navi rasha l'chadish davar. One of the beginning of Sechus Megillah, other places, ein navi rasha l'chadish davar. If a navi comes and tells you that I Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me another mitzvah, what do you do to the navi? What is he? Navi shech yitzchayv misa. A navi's job is not to be mechadish mitzvahs. A navi's job is to give us mussar. A navi's job is sometimes to tell us what's going to happen in the future. That's going to help us out in terms of mussar. A navi's job is to give us chizuk, to give us emunah l'achris hayomim. A navi has a few of these melamed Torah l'klal Yisrael to mechazik the pre-existing mitzvahs. But a navi's job is not to give a new mitzvah. And if he oversteps those bounds, and he goes ahead and he tells us to have a nevuah from the Baruch Shalom, here's a new mitzvah l'dayris, that's a sure sign that he's a navi sheker. Eila mitzvahs, ein navi rosh l'chadish davar. Comes the Gemara and tells us that Esther, Megillas Esther, was not just a historical story. There's much more to it than that. Esther was what? The Ruach HaKadosh Nemra. Esther was written by Ruach HaKadosh. The Gemara has Rayas from Psukim in Megillah that was written by Ruach HaKadosh. So comes the Rashba L'chorah and we learn as follows. If a bunch of Chachamim would have one day woken up and decided to institute the Yom Tov of Purim, that would have been fine. We wouldn't have had any problems with that. Because the Chamer allowed to institute new mitzvahs. Why not? Losos, Baltos, it's not Baltos. That's Losos and the Dabashek Yinuchayim as well. That's no problem. What was bothering Chazal was the fact that these Nevi'im are coming, these Ruach HaKadosh people are coming, and telling us Esther Ruach HaKadosh Nemra, and giving us a Megillah, a different Kabbalah, that the Rabban Shalom, so to speak, is giving us Megillah's Esther. Hey, that's a problem. Ain't Nevi Rosh HaKadosh Dab, we can't do that. That's a different problem. Legamri, a different problem. So whereas according to the Ramban, the problem was losos, or according to the Rashba, the problem is not losos, b'chlal. The problem was eila hamitzvahs. My nafkamina between the two? Nafkamina, whether that whatever problem existed in the days of Purim was the same problem that it resurfaced when? In the days of Chanukah. Chanukah is the litmus test between the two pshatim and the Rishonim. Chanukah was not b'divrei b'ruach HaKadosh. It was no nevuah. They're not of Koch and Nevuah. On the other hand, they were instituting something new. Before they came along, there was no Chanukah. Before they came along, there was no Neris. So what's the din? Whatever problem we had in Megillah Daf Yudal vis-a-vis Purim, did that problem resurface in the days of Chanukah or not? So according to the Ramban, it was the same problem. According to the Ramban, whatever the problem was in Purim, we don't know what the solution yet to the problem was, but whatever the problem was in the days of Purim, it was the same problem in the days of Chanukah. According to the Rashba, there was no problem at all. Chanukah was less problematic halachically than Purim, because Chanukah was just Chacham speaking. The Chashbonim were a Beis Din. The Beis Din Chashbonim, the Gemara speaks of, they were the Beis Din Agavel. Whereas Purim was a Ruach HaKadosh Nevuah oriented. That was a much more serious problem. So, Taka, what's the solution according to the Rashba? What's the solution at least to the Purim dilemma? According to the Ramban, what's the solution to both the Purim and the Chanukah dilemma? So comes the Gemara and says, "I'll tell you what the solution is." The Chachamim looked into the Torah Kedosh and they realized that we're not starting something new. Purim is not new. Or according to the Ramban, Chanukah is not new. This is an extension of what it says in the Chumash itself. Which parasha in the Chumash? Which parasha in the Chumash would you turn to see would teach us how to celebrate Purim or how to celebrate Chanukah? What's the answer? Az Yashem Moshe, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is a Gevaldik Yeshua. That's the model Yeshua in the Torah. What was the model Yeshua? That they used to be a vod, now they were saved. Avdus techeirus amam shira. The Torah doesn't just tell us that Kadosh Baruch Hu made a kriyas yamsuf and then call it a day. He didn't just split the Red Sea and then everyone just walked away and moved on to the next parsha. The Torah gives us a whole parsha, shira sayam, az yashim Moshe. Why does the Torah tell us that? Just stop historically. Tell us a nice song. Give us something else to add. Davening psukazim is not long enough without it. Why does the Torah give us the parsha of az yashim Moshe? To teach us a din l'dayrus. The din is, that's how you celebrate an ace. You don't ignore an ace, you have to celebrate, you have to commemorate, you have to thank the Rosh for an ace. And it wasn't such a big ace, Kriyas Yamsuf. I mean, it was an ace, l'malam, and a teva, but the stakes weren't so high, and Kriyas Yamsuf wouldn't have happened, what would have happened to Klai Yisrael? No one would have been killed. What would have happened? They were going right back. We'd still be building pyramids in Egypt right now. Obviously, it was just an issue. It wasn't a life and death issue. But in the days of Purim, it was life and death. In the days of Hanukkah, it was also life and death. Why is it life and death in the days of Hanukkah? The Yevanim didn't want to kill us. Yeah, but the Yevanim wanted us to become Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and the Halacha requires that you're not allowed to become an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You have to give up your life. So there were Jews who were dying right and left in the days of Hanukkah. So it was also in Avdus. It was also in Misa L'Chaim. So Madach Avdus L'Chayrus, you have to celebrate, you have to sing and thank the Rebbe Shlom in Misa L'Chaim L'Kol Shigayim. So the Gemara says that's the source of Purim, and according to the Ramban, by extension, corollary being that's the source of Chanukah as well. So Chanukah and Purim are not additions to the Mitzvah Satorah. Chanukah and Purim are just the way Chazal figured out how do you apply the Pasha of Azir Shemoshe in each and every generation. So there's a big Machlekes Apostle, we spoke about this in the past, Yom HaKlutshir, right? Machlekes, who remembers? The Tzivin Chassam Sofer, what shot in this Gemara? What exactly are the parameters of this Gemara? So comes the Chassam Sofer and says, what this Gemara is telling us is an amazing din l'dayrus. There's a din l'dayrus for all generations. Whenever a tremendous Yeshua affects us, we have to respond appropriately. And if we fail to respond, we fail to thank Rebbe Shalom, we're mevatel a mitzvah min haTorah called Azir Shemoshe. So din d'oraisa. You have to commemorate an ace. You can't just ignore an ace. You have to thank Rebbe Shalom. You have to express the kavanah toiv. If you don't, you're in violation of a mitzvah d'oraisa. Therefore, the Chassam Sofer says as follows. If a whole week of Chanukah is going to go by, Mitzvah Shem, next week, a guy does nothing for Chanukah. He doesn't like Neiris, doesn't eat a latke, doesn't play dreidel, doesn't go to the Chagiga, doesn't say Alan Nisan, doesn't say Alan nothing. Business as usual next week. Says the Chassam Sofer, he was Mevatel, the Mitzvah Derabbanan of Neiris Chanukah, and the Mitzvah Derabbanan of Halel, he was Mevatel, the Minig of eating latkes, and whatever other than hugging him and that. But you know what he was really Mevatel, says the Chassam Sofer? He was mevatel much more than the protim of Neiris Chanukah and Halel. He was mevatel the din d'oraisa of Azir Shemoshe. And if a whole day of Purim goes by, the guy doesn't read the Megillah, doesn't have a suit, doesn't say Alan Nisan, nothing. Not only was he mevatel the details of the Rabbanan, he was mevatel the mitzvah of the d'oraisa called Azir Shemoshe. And that din is in each and every generation, says the Chassam Sofer. It's a din l'dayrus. So when we light Neiris Chanukah, we say Halel, we're being fulfilling not only the din d'rabbanan of this particular Zatakanas Chashmenoim, but we're being fulfilling the mitzvah with the rice of Azir Shemosh. So shtei in Shubich Samson. Says the Netziv, it's not true, says the Netziv, min haTorah, the mitzvah of Azir Shemosh is only b'shas ha'nes. Haraya, there's no din l'dayrus to sing Azir Shemosh. We don't say Azir Shemoshe every generation. We laid it on the seventh day of Pesach, but we don't sing it as a Shiras Hayom. There's no chiyuv to be mishabeach for Kriyas Yamsuf every year. There's a mitzvah of Leil Pesach. There's a special mitzvah of Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim, but that's not what we're talking about. Says the Netziv, if you lived in the original times of Chanukah, you had a mitzvah midaraisa to celebrate, to commemorate. If you lived in the original days of Purim, you had a mitzvah midaraisa to celebrate. If you live 20 years later, you live 100 years later, you live 2,500 years later, your celebration is only midrabban. It's not midaraisa. Min haTorah, you're not mechuyav to celebrate a nes 2,500 years later. Min haTorah, you're mechuyav to celebrate a nes only b'shas nes. Therefore, the Netziv says, sorry for the disappointment, says the Netziv, but Chanukah is dirabban. From beginning to end, it's dirabban. Purim is dirabban. For me, there's no deraisa kiyus there in Chanukah or Purim. It's a pure mitzvah chiyav midrabban. Nice mitzvah anyway. Nice holiday. But it's no roots in deraisa whatsoever. So machlekes have shown him what was the problem in the Gemara. Machlekes acharonim, in a sense, what was the solution in the Gemara. So at the end of the day, we're left with this mitzvah. At the end of the day, we have the mitzvah of Chanukah, we have the mitzvah of Purim. We're allowed to keep Chanukah, Baruch Hashem. It took us 20 minutes to figure out why we're allowed to keep Chanukah, but we're allowed to keep Purim. The next question is, why do we have to? What's mechayev me to keep it? The rabbis told me, I want to listen to the rabbis. So comes the Rashba, as we said before, and the Rashba said, what do you mean you don't want to keep Chanukah? What do you mean you don't want to keep Chanukah? You have to keep Chanukah. Well, sauce me the Dovah Shekir Chayim in a small. If you don't light Chanukah candles, you're mevatel the mitzvah d'oraisa, says the Rashba. You know what mitzvah d'oraisa? Well, sauce her. That's exactly what the Rambam says, Nuchas Mamrim. The Rambam, beginning with his Mamrim, writes that the mitzvah of l'sosa, listening to the Chachamim, includes three components. You have to listen to the Chum, says the Rambam, when they report to you what the Mesorah is. Let's say the Chum tell you, Tefillin have to be black. How do we know? Our Les Bezin told us. How do we know the Les Bezin told us back to Moshe Rabbeinu? When the Bezin of God tells you, Tefillin have to be black, and if you want to make them green, you're mevata, besides the being mevata mitzvah of tefillin, you're being mevata the mitzvah of los osa. It's an issur d'oraisa of los osa. Says the Rambam number two, when the Chachamim tell you a new shaila comes up, let's say there's a new question comes up, the previous beis din never spoke about, what's the din of electricity on Shabbos? Is turning on a light on Shabbos an issur d'oraisa or not? New shaila. Nobody spoke about this for the last 3,500 years because Edison didn't exist. So now beis din HaGadol convenes and figures it out. So you got to work on this, right? You got to learn through all the sugyas. You got to figure out what's going on. Right? The whole Shia plans. You got to figure out what's the story. Is it their ice? Not their ice. Is it Asian? Not Asian. Is it bone? Is it not bone? Finally, based on the Gadol, they talk about it. They go on bus rides. They talk about it some more. And then finally, at the end of the day, they come to the conclusion that, lo and behold, it's an Issa Deraisa. And some guy comes and says, nah, I don't think so. I think it's okay. I think you're allowed to turn on the light on Shabbos. Says the Rambam, that's a violation of, besides being a violation of Chil Shabbos, it's a violation of the Sosser. You're being married against the Chum. The Chum came to the conclusion, a new Shala came up, they were done, they figured out, they brought a Raya from a Gemara, Pesachim and a Raya from a Gemara, and Shabbos and a Raya from a Gemara, here and a Gemara, and they came to the conclusion that the Tosher HaPesh should dictate that turning on a light is called Eish on Shabbos. It's a new case that came up, never existed for 3,500 years, and you disagree with them, that's a violation of the Sosser. Then the Rambam adds on the third part of the sauce. It comes around and says, the Chachamim make up a new mitzvah called washing the Tilshadayim. It's not the Raisa. Make up a new mitzvah called lighting Erev Shabbos. Says the Rambam, if you don't wash the Tilshadayim, you're in violation of the sauce also. The sauce doesn't only mean the Chachamim have a right to explain what the dinim deraisa are, but they have a right to be mechadish new dinim as well. Havdol Elif Havdolos. Not only does the Beis Din HaGadol, says the Rambam, not only does the Beis Din HaGadol have, who am I going to give my, what's the name of Havdol? Division of Branches of Government. Not only do they have judicial power, which means they can interpret a pre-existing law, Supreme Court can't make up new laws, they can interpret what the law means, right? All right. They even have what kind of power? Legislative power as well. They can make up things Yesh Me'ayim. So they have the Congress and the Supreme Court all rolled into one. That's the Rambam Shita. And comes the Ramban and says no. It's not true. The Beis Din HaGadol has no koyach min haTorah to make up new halachas. Who gave them the right to make up new halachas? They make up new halachas, I don't have to listen to them. The rabbi told me to wash the dust, I don't have to listen to them. The rabbi told me to light Shabbos candles, what I have to listen to them for? That's not called Lo Sosser. Lo Sosser means that the Torah gave the Koyach, the Beis Din HaGadol, judicial powers. That's what they are, they're judges, they're a court. They have to interpret what the dinim deraisa are. They have to either tell us what they heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, through the Rebbe, or they have to interpret it. They have to go to the Constitution and say, pshat in the Constitution. The Constitution must have meant this. This is how we apply. The Constitution was written in 1780, what year? 1789? 1787? Something like that. Okay. So the Constitution was written 250 years ago. We're trying to figure out what did it mean? What did the founding fathers, what did they mean? So our founding fathers, they were sitting in trying to figure out 200 years later, what did the halakha of founding fathers mean? So Lahav, the love of dollars, that's what Beis Din HaGadol does, says the Ramban. But to make up new halachas, they're going to make a new law that says you can't go over 65 miles an hour. George Washington said you didn't talk about it. His horses didn't go past 65. They didn't talk about it. So you want to make up a new law? You have no right to do so. That's what the Ramban says. So wait a second. Now we have a little bit of a problem. What's the problem? According to the Ramban, so why are we lighting Hanukkah candles next week? I don't want to let, I'm bothered, busy, I'm in the middle of class. I don't want to be bothered with Chaneris Hanukkah. So Bishlam, according to the Rambam and according to the Rashba, that Lo Sosser means that you have to listen to the Chachamim when they make up new halachos. They have legislative powers also. But according to the Ramban, it says in Sefer HaMitzvah, they have no legislative powers to use that. So I understand why they weren't in violation of Baal Tosef. But why do I have to listen to them? I don't want to bother listening to them. No, so that's the Chassam Sofer says that the details were midrabanan, but the concept was deraisa. That means. No, because everything I'm doing is considered to be a key in Ravaz Yosher. So we're stuck with a problem. So according to the Ramban, I understand why the Chum were able to do it, but I'm still not sure why I have to listen to them. So I'll finish them tomorrow. We'll try to figure out the answer to that question. And then hopefully tomorrow we'll try to get a little more details in terms of Chazchanukah. Okay.